Coming to you from 6 feet under Toledo, Ohio, this is the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, Irish-born Jen and Irish-born Joe.
Top of the morning to you. Yes. And the rest of the day. That's what they say in Ireland.
Welcome to our St. Patrick's Day show.
Yay! Hello, leprechauns and lasses.
We weren't actually born in Ireland or that, but we are of Irish descendants.
We are. We have Irish blood running through our veins. Ah. Joe has Guinness running through his veins.
Yes. Guinness. Oh, that's a pirate.
Oh. Wrong country. Oh, Joseph. Dean, what's going on? What's new? What's exciting? How you been?
Been good. Yeah, haven't seen you in about, 15 minutes or so since we recorded our last show. Walked around the studio a little bit.
Yeah. Any ghostly happenings?
Not this week. No. Okay. Didn't really have anything happen in the house. I've had a few things in the past come up, but I'm still, the weirdest thing though, is I'll be either falling asleep or that. I think I mentioned before, but I'll hear like a bang or something in the house. My house makes noises. Okay. And I don't think it's paranormal, but the dang thing makes a lot of noises. I'll actually hear like something falling in the closet here in the studio. Mm-hmm. And I'll come in here and nothing's out of the ordinary.
It might be a poltergeist because remember Caleb and I were sitting in here and we both saw the closet door move.
Swing out.
It didn't like move like side to side. It moved out.
Yeah.
Very bizarre. So maybe you got ghosts living in your... Do you got some haunted objects in there?
Not that I know of.
Anymore?
No, not that I know of.
Do we get rid of all our haunted objects?
Yeah.
I still have a doll.
Do you?
The Raggedy Ann.
Oh,
or
yeah.
The Raggedy Andy. Yeah. Doll. It's the male doll. So if anybody wants to investigate my doll, let me know.
We had an opportunity.
I have them in a locked box right now.
Now, we didn't make it. We made it to the Voodoo Museum. We did go to New Orleans last weekend.
Yes, Joe and I.
You guys probably saw a lot of my videos online that I was going to make a great video online of show you the house, all that stuff. And I'm like starting to talk and I kept forgetting what I was going to say. And all. I'm like, it turned out so bad. But it was neat because I could show you guys the house we have. And obviously we rented it, but the house we had and the neighborhood and everything. And it was really cool.
Yeah, so we were in the Frenchman area, but we were in the Marginet area, very close to the river. I mean, we were just a couple of blocks from the mighty Mississippi. And that whole area is just so interesting.
Yeah.
And haunted. Oh my gosh, you could just feel the spirits like moving around.
Now, I did a little investigation in the house and got some stuff, but nothing major. But I found out later after the guy that owns a restaurant next door, Dat Dogs.
Dat Dog. Shout out to Henry.
Yeah.
Dat Dog.
Great food. Thank you.
Oh, so good.
He mentioned that we would probably get more activity in the backyard or the addition that they added onto the house back there because that's where people used to hang out and actually overdose and stuff. Yeah. And you probably get some activity back there. But I didn't think of it. And by that time, it was the last night we were there, he came over. We sat on the porch and had Dat Dogs.
It was good.
I had a chicken sandwich, which was like a long, long buns with two chicken strips inside and some kind of sauce. And it was, oh, so good.
The thing about New Orleans is, one, of course, it's extremely haunted.
Yes.
But the food down there is incredible. It's like nowhere else. Like, everything is rich and homemade and made from scratch and just decadent.
Yeah.
Like, the desserts are decadent. Joe and I, oh, God, we probably put, about 10,000 steps a day
or
more. We walked all over that town. And the thing was, there was nobody there. It was like a ghost town.
Yeah.
It was so bizarre because, you know, normally you got people walking and you got to get up out of their way and the sidewalks are crowded, but there was like nobody around. Mm-hmm. And it was just like really kind of, I liked it.
Yeah.
Like, I liked it, like, be able to see the city. I wish we would have went for, like, a 2 a.m. walk, though.
Yeah.
But it's a little dangerous, you know. I mean, it is a dangerous city.
It is. You got to watch your back. Where we were at is not really that bad. I mean, but once you get out into the different neighborhoods and out of the touristy area, it does get kind of shady. But, you know, where we were at, we were on Frenchman Street, which is like Bourbon Street for the adults.
Yeah.
The music on Bourbon Street is all hip hop and rap and all that. And it's more for the younger crowd, I want to say. Even
the partiers.
The younger crowd.
We got our wheelchairs out.
We got our wheelchairs going down Frenchman Street.
There was a guy in a wheelchair going down Frenchman Street.
I was sitting on the balcony in the morning watching him in the corner. At the corner of the two streets, of Frenchman and the other street that we were on. I can't pronounce it.
Chartres.
Okay. And he was literally rolling around in that, stopping every tourist, asking for money, which, okay, good or bad, I don't know. But it was Sunday morning. I come out, and the night before, we went and we saw a great band. And it was really their first night that they were able to have live music again in New Orleans.
So it was so strange.
Everybody was loving it. And Sunday morning, I get up. And I'm sitting out on the front porch just watching people walk by. And then everybody is so friendly. Even the homeless people say hi to you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole nother culture. And it's just everybody is so friendly.
Yeah. It's such a great place to go. I mean, like, if you want to investigate ghosts, go there and do it.
Yeah.
Like, just go and do it. I want to say don't recommend, like, doing ghost tours. I mean, well, it's fun. You get to hear some of the things, but make sure you do your research on it because we got a bad one this time. It was not like what she had before.
She wasn't very informative. And
it was this young girl who's just trying to make a buck.
I think
right?
She's just starting out. But the thing that's cool about the ghost tours is you get to learn a little bit about it and the buildings and that. And if you go on one, most of them say the same stuff about the different same places. But it's interesting. And coming up on the next few shows, I'm putting together some interesting shows about New Orleans and some of the locations. So I hope you guys are going to enjoy that.
Yeah, it's so cool there. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, our show today, we really wanted to do something a little different.
Yeah.
And talk about St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick himself, and some haunted places in Ireland. It's one of the, I think it's becoming, you know, just as popular as like Christmas and New Year's and, you know, St. Paddy's Day is becoming this, it's like the New Year celebration in March, I guess
it
you
is.
Would say.
And when I was a drinker, it was one of the holidays that I used to go to Obie's Bar.
Everybody went to Obie's.
And now Obie's Bar is pretty small.
Tiny.
And it's on a road called Tremainsville, which is a main road, but it's not like a, it's a two-lane made road. It's not like a four-lane, but.
It's one of the oldest streets in Toledo, though, because it was brick.
Yeah.
It's, and you can still see the bricks there because the road's terrible. But that bar is an old Irish bar. It's been there since the 40s.
Yeah.
Or maybe earlier.
And you go there at 7 in the morning on St. Patrick's Day, and it's just as packed as it's going to be all day long.
One time, my sister and I, we went in there on St. Patrick's Day, and you could barely get in. So we go in, and we go in the basement. And I'm telling you, I thought that ceiling was going to collapse on us. There were so many people upstairs, and this place is tiny, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, just had that feeling. I'm like, I got to get out of this basement. I got to get out of this basement. But we hit up all the local Irish haunts. Which is pretty much every bar.
Yeah.
So
why don't you tell me a little bit about St. Patrick?
Okay, so everybody knows what St. Patrick's Day is, but do they really know who St. Patrick was? So interesting, because St. Patrick was born in Great Britain. So if you don't understand, like, Great Britain is England, Scotland, and Ireland. Now, the United Kingdom is England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Then the British Isles are any of the islands that are encompassed all around Great Britain. It's really interesting. If you guys want to learn something weird, Google what is the difference between United Kingdom, England, the British Isles, and Great Britain. It's fascinating.
I didn't know that. I thought that they were all just separate countries.
They are, but certain countries are part of like Great Britain, and then certain countries are the British Isles, and then there's some, I don't know, the Commonwealth. Okay. It's so interesting because the Commonwealth includes Canada and Australia, but whatever. Okay. So all right. Back to the subject at hand. So known as the Apostle of Ireland, he's the primary patron saint of Ireland. The other patron saints being Bridget of Kildare and Columbia. And he was never formally canonized as a saint, having lived prior to the current laws of the Catholic Church in these matters. But he has been venerated as a saint in the Catholic Church and in Eastern Orthodox Church, where he's regarded as an equal to the apostles and the enlightener of Ireland. So he's also regarded as a saint within the framework of their respective doctrine of the Anglican Communion and the Lutheran churches. So they're all recognizing him as being a holy person, mm-hmm. right? Not necessarily been canonized a saint. But everybody calls him St. Patrick. So maybe he was. I don't know.
Well, it's just before the church used that standard as a saint or not would be canonized. But he just lived before that.
Okay. So the dates of his life, they can't be pinpoint certainly, but they have kind of an idea of when he was. There's a kind of a broad agreement that he was an active missionary in Ireland during the 5th century. Nevertheless, as the most recent biography on Patrick shows, the late 4th century date for the saint wouldn't be impossible. So early medieval tradition credits him with being the first bishop of Armagh and the primate of Ireland, and regards him as the founder of Christianity in Ireland, converting a society practicing the form of a Celtic polytheism. So basically they were probably practicing like being Druids or the Celts, you know, just had that earth type religion. And so he has generally been regarded ever since, despite evidence of some earlier Christian presence in Ireland, the kind of like the first missionary to go there to bring Christianity over to Ireland. Now, according to a autobiographical confessio of St. Patrick, he was about 16 when he was captured by Irish pirates from his home in Britain and taken as a slave to Ireland. And
did they drink Guinness?
They might made him drink some Guinness.
Arr.
Yeah.
We talked about Irish pirates.
Oh, here you go, Joe. It all comes full circle. We all step in the circle. Well, they made him look after their animals. And he had lived there 6 years before escaping and then returning back to his family. Now, after becoming a cleric, he returned to the northern and western Ireland, and then later in his life served as a bishop. But little is known about the whereabouts or the places that he worked and did his missionary work. So by the 7th century, it had already come to be revered as the patron saint of Ireland. Now, St. Patrick's Day is always observed on March 17th, and it's supposed the date of his death. And it's celebrated inside and outside of Ireland as a religious and cultural holiday. And the Diocese of Ireland and regard it as a holy day of obligation. So basically, you have to go to church.
Okay.
In the church's eyes, you have to go to church to celebrate on St. Paddy's Day. Oh. Now, when I went to Ireland, it wasn't anything like we have here.
Okay.
It's more of like, you know, like we would have Ash Wednesday and it's a religious day and you go to church and that's it. Over there, that's how it is. Now, it might be a little different nowadays because it's been about 20 years since they've been to Ireland, but, you know, it's not the big boozy booze fest, drink green beer and wear, you know, a green wig and, and go getting smashed all night. You know, it's just like, it's a day of observance and you would go to mass.
Okay.
Over there.
Now, when you went there, you went to the castle and kissed the Blarney Stone?
I did. So my friend Tammy and I, we traveled together and we had such a great time. It was so amazing. We flew into Shannon, which is on one side of Ireland. And then we took a tour and we ended up in Dublin.
Okay.
Along the tour, we went to Blarney Castle, which is this just beautiful, beautiful estate. If you guys, you know, you've probably seen pictures of it. It's this old gray stone castle. And then to kiss the Blarney Stone, you have to walk up these rickety ladders to get to the top because it's all open. Okay. Like the floors are gone, you know. So right. There's like a walkway around the edge of the inside of the castle and there's no roof on it. So you lay down backwards with your back on the floor. You stretch your arms out over your head, hang on to two railings and pull yourself out, leaning your head backwards to kiss the stone. Now there's an open gap about 12 inches. Like you could just fall down. So yeah. They have people literally holding you from falling down like six stories of this castle. And they say if you kiss the Blarney Stone, that you'll have the gift of gab, basically. Oh, okay. Which, you know, helps when you have a podcast. So now, yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I have a picture of it. I'll post it on the page.
Now, is the castle haunted?
I don't know. So, you know, this was like I always knew about ghosts and I didn't feel anything in that one because it's such a shell.
Okay.
And there's a million tourists going through it. The one that I did really feel some presence was Bunratty Castle.
Okay.
So we went to this castle called Bunratty and it's, you know, just a giant fortress. And it was really cool because it had like the, you know, like the Knights Hall where like the people would gather and they would have feasts and stuff like that. So we did a traditional Irish feast and dinner. And they have the meal and there's no utensils.
Okay.
So you use your hands to eat your, so it was like roast turkey and vegetables and like bowls of like homemade soup, but you just lift the bowl up to drink and mead, which is like beer and honey kind of mix. And it was really potent. Oh my God, we were drunk. And so they have these like big, long, like 20-foot-long wooden bench tables and everybody eats like, you know, the whole tour group was in there and we're eating and then they were like, they had Irish dancers and then they had this guy come in at the end and he sang Danny Boy.
Oh yeah.
For, you know, cause it's one of the most popular Irish songs ever. And he was in there and he was singing it and people, we were just sobbing because it's such a sad song. It's about, you know, a young man who goes off to war and he dies and he misses his family and his family misses him. And, you know, it's just the longing to be home and people are just bawling their eyes out. These elderly ladies are bawling their, and my friend Tammy's like, what's everybody crying for? She didn't know what it was. And I'm sitting there trying to wipe the tears off and she's like, why is everybody all crying? It was funny. But that place was really cool because we got to look down into the dungeon.
Yeah.
And it's basically just a big hole in the floor. It's kind of square. And then they would put spikes at the bottom and they just would literally shove the people in there. Jeez. And just let them fall. And then there was no way out.
Yeah.
No way out. You would just either, if you didn't get impaled by the spikes, you would just literally wither away to nothing. Mm-hmm. And they would like from these meals, they would maybe throw some scraps down there, but maybe not.
Wow.
So that was a little creepy.
So that's got to be haunted.
For sure. Definitely. We went to an archaeological dig in Dublin. They had found underneath this building, they were doing an excavation. It was a Viking like stronghold or, you know, like Viking don't want to say camp, but I don't know if that's the right word for it, where the, it was interesting. It was like the Vikings were there, then the Romans built over it, and then, or the Irish built over it, and then the Romans built over that, and the Irish built over that. So as they were excavating this, and they were going down in the layers of dirt and whatever else was built on there, they found this Viking, they find, like, you know, Viking treasures, mm-hmm. and there was this big, like, stone campfire that they have found. It was really interesting to go down there. I don't think it was haunted, but it was very haunting. Yeah. You know what I mean? And let's see, where else? Oh, I'll tell you where I did feel the strangest presence was in the Potato Famine Cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
So on the tour, we got to stop and get out and take pictures. And they had this big, like, monument to the people who died from the potato famine. And I walk in, like, it's not a gate, but it's like where a gate would be, you know, like, mm-hmm. it, and it's overgrown and there's like grass up and there's like all these like tiny gravestones and stuff. And I'm telling you, walk in there and it felt like a million eyes watching you. It was so bizarre. It was really, really creepy and I loved every minute of it. But that was interesting. And then we went to the Waterford Crystal Factory. That was really cool. Got to see Waterford Crystal being made. But, you know, like, just, I don't know, if you guys ever get a chance, that's be one bucket list place mm-hmm. to go, because the green is so green, it doesn't do it justice. Like, what you see in the postcards, it really looks like that.
Oh, okay.
So cool.
But, I mean, there are other places, like churches, that are haunted. We actually did an investigation here in Toledo at the St. Patrick's Church here in Toledo, but before we talk about that, let's talk about the one in New York.
Oh, yeah. So, St. Patrick's Cathedral. You know, any major city in the United States is going to have a Catholic, Irish Catholic cathedral. And so St. Patrick's in New York, very, very famous. If you don't remember, you know, the image of 9/11 when the priest died with the fireman, he rushed in to give last rites to the fireman. He ended up dying. They carried his body and laid it on the steps of St. Patrick's. If you Google it, it will just, like, mm-hmm. tear your heart up, right? But there are, you know, reports of that place being haunted. They said that there are ghosts of runaway slaves. He was a hairdresser, and his name was Pierre Toussaint. And he, some reason, wants to be there. Like, I don't know if he took solace there when he was living or what, but he haunts there. There's also a long-deceased bishop who just will not, he doesn't want to leave the parish. Yeah. I don't blame him.
Uh-huh.
So the legend is that Bishop Dubois is buried at the entrance of the old St. Patrick's, and he's seen pretty regularly. And they don't like to talk about it, but there's definitely a lot of reports. And you can look up some photographs, too, people have of some of the ghosts that appear.
Yeah, that's so interesting that the bishop is actually seen in the church.
Yeah.
And to find out that he's actually buried at the church is amazing.
I think they might have buried that priest who died with the 9/11 firefighters. He might be buried there too. That would be interesting to know.
We got to investigate exclusive investigation of St. Patrick's here in Toledo, and it is such an amazing church. The aisleways have
marble
clovers mm-hmm. lining the walkway down the center of the church, yeah. and it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was built by the Irish probably in the late 1800s, maybe early 1800s. And, you know, it has a special place in our heart. Our grandparents were married there. Our great-grandparents were married there. And their pictures are up on the wall
mm-hmm.
there if you guys do go and take a tour. And our Uncle Tom, who was a firefighter, was a fire chief, actually helped save that building in 1980, maybe 81, 82, I'm not sure. The steeple was struck by lightning, and the firemen rushed in to save it. My uncle was one of the first people there, and they were able to save the church. Mm-hmm. Now, the steeple burnt, and you were up there, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not when the fire was going on, but
yeah. No, I mean, but you had gone up in the spire.
Yeah, I've been up there twice now.
Mm-hmm. Was it still charred?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a long straight
ladder.
It's you go up to one level and then you grab another ladder and you go up to the next one, and each level gets smaller and smaller, and it's just so cool to actually be up there.
Yeah. It was interesting because we went as a family. We did a tour there, and it was on my birthday. And I remember they're like, go up there. Well, I couldn't go up there because I had just had my gallbladder surgery.
Oh, okay.
Was it my gallbladder or my appendix?
I don't know.
No, it was my gallbladder, okay. I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, I couldn't climb a stair if I wanted to. But when Joe and I did that investigation, it was so interesting because, like, do you remember seeing the flashes up? There were flashes of light.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all in the back of the church. And it was probably around 11, 12 o'clock. And there were five of us there.
Yes.
Yeah, there was only five of us in there. And we would see, like, lights, like, flashing from the pulpit up at front. And nobody was taking flash cameras. There was no cars going by because it's not in a space where, you know, a car.
And the way the building's built, there's no light coming in because the stained glass windows are so high up in the in the roof.
Giant. It's a cathedral.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting. But both Sarah from Haunted Toledo and I saw a woman with brown hair sitting in a bench. Now, we both saw her independently and didn't tell each other until the end. And I was like, did you see anything? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, what did you see? And I said, I saw a woman with brown hair sitting in that bench. And she goes, I saw the same thing.
Yeah.
And her daughter saw it too. So I got goosebumps right now because I've never seen, well, I've seen, you know, I've seen full body apparitions, but this was a woman sitting. I mean, you could see the detail of her hair.
Oh, yeah.
I looked and she was gone. So that was cool.
Yeah, we were there for a few hours that night, and I think we left probably like 3 a.m. or something.
Yeah,
but
it was late.
It was so interesting to investigate there because it's also the church where the police and fire have their memorials, and I actually was hearing the last call bell ringing, and I'm like, did you guys hear that? And
yeah,
I was like, I went back on our recorder, and you can't hear it on the recorder, but I heard it.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
So there is activity in the church.
And there is a piece of the World Trade Center in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and if you guys ever come to Toledo, you know, there's a couple of really great places. One, if you can get into St. Patrick's, I mean, just to look around, they don't do like normal investigations or anything.
No, we were so honored because we were the only team, and it wasn't me and Jen. It was the Haunted Toledo invited me and Jen to go with them. But it was such an honor to be in that church and for them to trust us enough to be in there. Because I was like, dude, they're just saying, okay, just lock up when you leave.
Yeah.
And there's relics and there's, I mean, priceless items in that church. But Haunted Toledo has such a good reputation of being good investigators and people that really care about the history.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's one place you guys should go to. Definitely, you know, if you can just go in or if you want to go to Mass, they have regular Masses. You know, we talk about a lot of different places on the show, but just going back to like St. Patrick, there's I mean, how can you not say like England and Ireland are not haunted, right? There's so many haunted places right in Ireland. And we wanted to bring you some of these stories, you know, just staying in the St. Patrick's Day theme. I want to tell you a couple little ghost stories of haunted places in Ireland. So you can go to Toledo. It's a lot cheaper than going to Ireland. But if you go there, this is some of the places that you want to go. So the first place is on, it's called the Haunted Manor House, and it's in Slaney. So on the right bank of Slaney, which is a river, it's a little town on a river, below the Enniscorthy, stands an old manor house, and it's called Bundharrig, okay? And it's several years since any of the representatives of the old family have lived there, and it suffered the comfort and uncrosses of human life as a old mansion, and it's deserted. But the hall and the grounds remain unoccupied for years and years. Okay, so there was one gentleman who had gone to the market, and he was walking past the gates and he would see people in the hall. And there were lights through the first floor windows and figures of men and women like coming and going. And he could hear horses' feet and coaches' wheels and dancing and some musicians. And, you know, this guy's a farmer and he's just like kind of walking by. And there was ghostly visitors that were in the doorway on the gravel drive. He saw a servant maid and a ghostly, like a guard, kind of standing at the gate. So it was almost like everybody was still there, just doing what they would normally do in like the party situation, but it had been abandoned for years and years.
So I'm going to talk about the haunted house in Bride Street. Mr. Mullen was a grocer on Bride Street, and he was left a widower in charge of a few children and a few young girls, boys, you know, stuff. So after the mother's death, steps started being heard in the house of the mother walking around, especially in the nursery.
Oh, wow.
So what happened was after they started hearing these sounds, so they would go to the housekeeper and the children would be afraid because they would hear all this. So they would go to the housekeeper and she actually would talk them out of saying, you know, the house isn't haunted or that, but they kept hearing the sounds of the mother. They heard her voice. Mm. They heard footsteps as if she was still walking around the house taking care of the children, even though she passed away. So that house is very haunted, and they call it the haunted house on Bride Street.
Mm. Haunted bride. Ghost bride.
One night when the housekeeper was following Mr. Mullen upstairs from the cellar, she distinctly saw a small man with a red cap on following close behind her and holding him. And she said that he was holding the skirts of his coat. So he was a short man dressed in an older type outfit.
Was it a leprechaun?
There's a leprechaun. So that was really the only appearance that she saw of that spirit. But she believes that that spirit was the mother manifesting herself as that to show the anxiety of what her daughters had. So maybe she was trying to put out a image that the kids wouldn't be afraid of. Because if they would see her mother, they knew the mother had passed.
Yeah.
So the mother actually manifested as a smaller gentleman, not to scare the kids so much. But in a way, that would scare the kids.
Yeah.
So one night, the maid was sitting in the kitchen doing some work, such as like ironing out the frills on their clothing and stuff. And she actually saw a full body apparition of the mother walking past.
Wow.
So this, it's almost like it could be a residual haunting because the mother was doing her natural thing, but in a, also an intelligent because she actually manifests herself as a little person, not to scare the kids. But also while she was sitting there, she actually heard the mother's voice. And so the maid actually reached out and said, "Oh, master, is that you?" And she actually heard the mother's voice again, calling her by name.
It's always creepy when you hear your name.
Yeah. So called. She was like,
"And you're home alone.
Is it imagination or is it you?" But that's not the only. I mean, the daughters see apparitions. You know, I don't know if the father has or not, but it's very haunted.
So there's a place. This is interesting. Perhaps a leprechaun sighting. So in 1992, a 15-year-old boy spied two figures just over a meter tall sea fishing on the Aran Islands in Galway. The figures were each reportedly dressed in green and wearing brown shoes and were speaking to each other in Irish before they disappeared. One of the small figures left behind a pipe, which the 15-year-old witness took possession of, although it curiously disappeared later after being safely locked away. Now, we've seen videos. Have you seen the videos of, like, if you Google, like, gremlins or gnomes or leprechauns? It's interesting. There's a place called, I'm going to mess this one up, Ardilian Castle in Dublin. I hope I'm saying that right. It's known as the Lady Stairs at the Ardilian Castle in Dublin. There have been reports of a reoccurring apparitions of a lady known as the Lady the waiting lady. The Phantom Woman is said to be waiting for her husband, who drowned one night, to return, leaving his wife waiting on a bridge for him. And one version of the story says that whoever sees the lady on Halloween night will be picked up and thrown into the ocean.
Ooh.
Scary.
So have you ever heard of the Lilac Balls of Dublin?
No. What's that?
Maybe it's little... Never mind.
Oh, God.
Reports are split as to what these apparent balls of light spotted in Glenmore, Dublin, mm-hmm. actually are. People don't know, but some locals believe that the lilac color leads themselves to be fairies, while others believe that the lights are manifestations of a lady who was lost her way in a snowstorm in the Middle Ages and died. It's said that she now manifests herself as these balls of light, guiding others home safely.
Oh, that's sweet. Here's one, the Headless Horseman of Dublin.
Oh, there we go.
Yes. Roper's Rest off of Black Pitts Road in Dublin was the home of Thomas Roper, who became Viscount Baltinglass. Viscount Baltinglass. Ooh, what a name. I don't want to be his wife. It's Ghost Bride. Local residents have accounted for a headless horseman riding by after nightfall. Although no specific connection has been established between Roper's Rest and the horseman, but it is rumored that to be associated with a gruesome incident in which the member of the Roper family died and was unattended to for several days before burial.
Aw.
Ooh.
Over 800 Spanish soldiers landed in the area of Dunahar in 1580, overrunning the English garrison. Spanish reinforcements failed to come. However, their victory was short-lived when more English troops arrived, forcing the Spaniards to surrender and meet their deaths. Their death throes echo throughout the area on October 1st, the anniversary of their deaths.
Nice.
And that is the the screams of the Spanish soldiers.
Ooh.
In County Kerry.
Nice. Yes, there's so much. I mean, like, when you go to England and Ireland, it's just like, because it's so old, I mean, I don't know. I get goosebumps thinking about it, because, like, when we went to England, and we were in Windsor Castle, it just felt like, you just felt the history. You felt like people who had died are watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just the weirdest feeling. Now, there's a robed figure in Kilbeggan Distillery in Kerry. So whiskey isn't the only spirit in Kerry, in the distillery. So in 2007, there were several people reported to have seen a robed figure walking around the site, which is the oldest distillery in the world, going back to 1757. Now, on that show, Most Haunted,
mm-hmm.
do you remember with Derek Acora? I think he passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he did. Because we were friends on Facebook, and I think he died. He said that he had felt engulfed with the spirits when he entered that distillery. Mm. There's a little controversy about his abilities. Yes.
There's a weeping statue in Dunglore at the Kerrytown Shrine. In 2009, 14 people claimed to witness crosses formed in the sky above the shrine before the statue became animated and began to weep. So that shrine became a very popular religious spot after the sighting on 2009.
Wow. That's cool. I've seen so many different things about weeping statues. Yeah. We got to do a whole show on that one.
Well, I mean, we did actually, because Mom, if you guys really want to listen to a good show, Mom got on here and talked about all these religious things that she saw. So the wine, the host actually turning to real blood and real flesh. She has a picture where she took a picture of a glass crucifix, and it actually turned out on the film, and this is film, this isn't digital,
mm-hmm.
turned out as a completely blood-covered Jesus.
Yeah, it's just so interesting.
She has a whole book of these actual photographs, not mm-hmm. digital,
right.
but actual photographs that are definitely not Photoshopped or anything like that, and just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really cool. There was a place near the airport in the city of Derry, and it's the war staff apparition. So in the Derry airport, it was formerly known as Eglinton Air Force Base. And there was a, you know, a thriving base during the 1940s, during World War II. And the staff has reported seeing figures dressed in World War II clothing all around the airport, which I think is really cool. It's kind of like a testament of, like, you know, anytime there's, like, war, strife.
Tragedy.
Tragedy.
Sudden,
triumph.
Sudden death.
Yeah. It's a good recipe for death. But, you know, just keeping in the whole Irish St. Patrick's Day theme, just wanted to bring you guys some cool information. I won't do my river dance for you. I did used to do river dancing, but I sold my step shoes long time ago on Poshmark. But no, you guys, it's so interesting. We love St. Patty's Day. It's just, you know, it's just one of those occasions where it's just a reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have corned beef and cabbage at my mom's house because we're Irish and that's what we do. And, well, part Irish. We got lots of other parts, but.
but I think one of our ancestral traits is more leading towards the Irish than the French Indian and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're more Irish than anything else.
Yeah. Well, we just, you know, that was part of our culture growing up. And the parents always, you know, celebrated that with drinking beer. Woo! Green beer turns your poop green. Don't get a colonoscopy right after you drink green beer. I'm just saying.
No? Okay.
But anyways, you guys have a great week. Happy St. Patty's Day. And I just want to leave you guys with this really interesting. This was on a headstone in Ireland.
Okay,
this is direct off a headstone. Those we love don't go away. They walk beside us every day. Unseen, unheard, but always near. Still loved, still missed, and very dear. Death leaves a heartache that no one can heal. Love leaves a memory that no one can steal. And that was on a headstone in Ireland. So I think I'm going to have to post that on Facebook. That's pretty good. But anyways, you guys, have a great day. Be safe. Have a wonderful St. Patty's Day. Don't get too drunk. Listen to podcasts. Keep you sober.
That's right. And get up on our website and buy some t-shirts.
Yes. Check out our Facebook page
please,
as well.
Please share the show with all your friends.
All right, everybody. Bye, Joe. Have a good week, Joe.
Have another good week, and we will talk to you next week with some very interesting shows.
Yeah, stay tuned. Stay tuned for some interesting shows. We'll talk to you later.
All right, let's leave with some War by Dead in 5. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. This is the war inside my heart.